I had my day off yesterday, so because I'm doing fairly good, I'm very stable. So this is, we're talking in November. We should start saying the date because it's November of 2023. Who knows when this comes out, but just for reference for future episodes. So, and I'm doing pretty good, even though the weather and the sun situation is really, really bad. I mean, it's November in Germany. It's like it's always in November in Germany. Mm-hmm. But it sucks. But I'm taking my vitamin D3, and I got a new lamp, like a daylight lamp. Is that the English term? In German, it's
winter therapy lamp.
Yeah. Okay. That is a much better name, actually. Winter therapy lamp. And I use that in the morning when it's still dark, but I'm already at my desk and working. And so far, I think. And I'm going to the CrossFit gym regularly. And now I'm starting to go running again. And doing lots of music. At the end, I can plug my next concert, which is next week. And so I'm doing good. Why am I telling you this? Oh, yeah, I had one bad day yesterday, so I didn't do anything. And it's always a bad day when I don't practice my trombone. Because the only reason I don't do that is because I don't want to do anything. But that only happened yesterday, so that's good. Tell me about Burning Man.
Oh, God, that's quite the open. Oh boy.
So even here in Germany, people knew that there was a lot of rain and it did not look like a summer festival. It looked more like a swamp. And since I know the area and I know what kind of soil there is, I could just imagine that it was really awful to just be there.
Well, but remember that the thing people don't realize is that the rain happened twice.
Yeah.
And we never really dried out from the first one. So basically we were, you know, the city was being set up. It was before they started letting a lot of people in. Before build week.
So build week is the last week before it starts officially?
Yeah. So basically pretend that week one is the event. Build week is week zero.
Mm-hmm. But the preparations start way before that.
Yeah, the preparations start way before. Actually, can you excuse me for just one quick second? Sure. Keep talking to me about something. I don't know what, because I'll be able to hear you, but I won't be able to talk.
Okay. So then I'm going to plug my next concert right now, which means I have to get this episode out before next Saturday, because on Saturday, December 2nd, I will play the last concert of this year in Heidelberg. We're going to play in a small place called Café Leitstelle, 5 minutes walk from the main station, which is really nice. So I hope to see some of my colleagues that come from Darmstadt or Frankfurt. We'll see about that. And we're going to play with the Uplifters. And then I'm going to play with the second band as well. Not the whole set, but at least half an hour, I guess. Because it's a double concert between the Uplifters from Freiburg and the band that is now called Marshall Pfefferle from Heidelberg. The band that I played with for about 3 years until February, when I realized that I don't have the energy to spend a night per week until after 10 o'clock at night practicing with another band, because it's just too much and I need my sleep. We start playing at 8 o'clock at night. It'll be affordable. Entry is just 10 euros. And then when we finish, we'll rearrange the stage and the second band will play. They play rock cover songs, and it's always a lot of fun listening to them, because they're loud and they're good, and everybody dances and everybody sings all the songs because everybody knows all the songs. And that's a lot of fun, and I'm looking very, very much looking forward to it.
Okay. Sorry, things are falling apart in this house.
Physically, or?
Yeah, so we had some... the foundation of the house, so we have a basement. It's actually, you can... Yeah, I think the concept of basements, you know about basements.
Yeah.
So we had to do some foundation work on the basement because it was starting to... Water was starting to seep in. So we did that. But we also had to take out everything from the basement. We also had to cut out the water heater. And the way I cut it out makes it very hard to put it back in. So I thought, well, I'll just install a newer, better water heater. And so I did that. And there have been just kind of a cascading series of problems from there. Like, we still don't have our washing machine hooked back up because we're waiting to put in a drain. Because the drain we were using for our washing machine was literally just a hole in the ground in our foundation, which may have been part of the problem. I mean, that's how we bought the house. That's not what we intended to do. Yeah. But, so things are breaking, and then when they break, I have to go fix them. So, and it's not really something that can wait.
No, that's okay. So,
and there was something wrong with our toilet that I spent... Like, I would fix it, and it would break. I would fix it, and it would break, and it would fix it, and it would break. And I forget what it was. I was just ready to rip out the toilet and replace it, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to try one more thing. I forgot what that thing was that I tried.
But now it works?
Oh, yeah, it works fine.
Okay, so, but you're worried that the next time it breaks, you don't remember what you did?
No, what I actually do remember now. It was basically just I put a gasket on the inner side instead of the outside, and that seemed to fix it. So, just if it leaks, add more gaskets.
I have to look up what the gaskets are, but
it's,
I can't
it's
imagine.
The seal between it's yeah. the little rubber seal
yeah,
between
yeah,
the
yeah.
two
okay,
parts.
Okay. Yeah.
At least I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Some people just call it a washer, but.
Yeah, that's always a good, whenever we do stuff like that, yeah, it's always, I try to remember where I removed it to put it back in the same place, but that doesn't always work. So it's a little bit of, yeah.
Well, the other problem is that I, in my quest to be ecologically friendly, replaced, so in the US, the dual flush toilets were not common.
What are dual flush toilets?
So it flushes less water for just
a
light.
Two buttons to decide how much water you use. Yeah, okay.
Right. And so that's what we, that's not common in the US. Usually in residential toilets, it's just, actually, I think everywhere, almost everywhere. They're starting to change, but it's just like one gigantic volume of water, no matter what you do. Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, nope, not about that. Burning Man.
Yeah.
Oof. It was I think my best Burning Man experience I ever had was there this year. And my worst experience happened the day after that. There were a lot of rains. I was not paying attention to what was going on in the outside world or what the outside world was saying. I was just trying to deal with what was going on the inside. And I was just I know how to unfuck things, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, and beyond the fact that I was like a first level middle manager in Gate and got promoted to that mostly because I showed up with a radio. I was just like regular angel level, not like a supervisor of any kind, you know, just basic, basic volunteer. But I did my plan was, I built a metal solar shade structure. I actually built one. We went down to Indiana to Kristen's dad's house. He's a welder. We bought all the metal. They cut it to length, and he welded together the parts that we needed, and we built it. I had to do a lot of drilling. I did a lot of drilling. Mm-hmm. But I never pulled it out of the van.
Hmm.
My plan was to work for Gate, to basically work for the people that take your tickets. Yep. And Gate at Burning Man is a bigger production. Because you're 12 lanes letting, and you're the only thing there. And it's not just scan your ticket, let you in. We have to search your vehicle, kind of. There's a lot of vehicles that we'll just look at, and I'll give people little hints. So if you come in a,
hello,
in like a Prius, like you know what a Prius is, right?
Yeah.
I think there are Priuses in Europe.
Yeah.
So basically what I tell them is, if you can see down to the footwell, because they'll stuff their car full of things.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell them, like, if you can see this and you can see that and you can see this, they can just have them pop their trunk real quickly and you can look around. We're basically only looking for stowaways. We don't really care about anything else.
Okay.
And I tell them so we don't intensively search each vehicle. But if you come in an RV, we have to open every thing that a person might be in.
Ah, okay. I see.
We're basically just looking for stowaways.
Mm-hmm.
And so my plan was work for Gate and Pre, earn my ticket through Gate, actually go to Burning Man during the event.
That's unusual.
I know it is unusual. I was going to try to do that. Like maybe work a ranger shift or two, but the idea was I would be working on my solar shade structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd be working on that. I had plenty of time to put up my carport, which I should send a picture. I'll send pictures this time.
Yeah, please do.
So I put up my carport. I brought a ton of stuff, way more than any one person should have. Like the amount of stuff that I brought was supposed to keep one person busy for the whole event. And I, aside from putting up my carport, which I barely put up before the rains and the winds hit, I didn't really do much of anything. And the weird part was, is even though we had lots of rain and the rain came in, I put down a tarp. And you could see when I went back to do resto a month later, I knew exactly where my tarp was because of the indent that it made in the playa. And the fact that it was the only really smooth part of playa anywhere around it. Because what happens is when you walk on wet playa, it's like walking on clay. Yep. You make those indentations, and those indentations stick. It's not as bad as clay, but it's the same general effect. And that tarp was down through both rain events. My whole shade structure was up through both rain events. And instead of working Gate and Pre, going to Burning Man, and then being a ranger in post. So rangers are the conflict de-escalation / customer service
mm-hmm.
people of Burning Man. Because most of a good ranger shift, you do nothing. Aside from like tell people, like people will come up to you and ask you, you know, where are the porta potties? Where's this? Can you help? Blah, blah, blah. If bad things happen, you find for things that you would normally seek out the police, you would seek out a ranger at Burning Man.
Yeah.
But Burning Man are not cops. We have no, like we have apparent authority. People give us authority because the rangers have earned that throughout time. Just sort of like it's not you are automatically the authority. It's okay. We trust you to not be the B in A cab. And for the most part, rangers are not. Rangers are human. Sometimes rangers mess up. But rangers usually have that magical, oh, I will fix your problem kind of approach to things, just why people trust them to be the authorities that they are. And then Catherine's back.
Yeah.
Do you have to go?
No. She has to come here. Or at least that's what I'm asking just to her say to hi. Do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if she does.
Has Catherine ever forgiven me for the nutmeg incident?
I think she has forgotten.
Okay, good.
Or at least she's not talking about it. But every time I eat nutmeg, I do think about it.
I'm sorry about that. Good grief. It's just... The cap fell off. Anyway, where was I going with this? So the best experience I had was the day after the rains, the second time. So the event was on, a lot of people were there. And I wake up, the weird thing was, is I think I had been working late the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not get that. I didn't get much sleep at all. The weird thing was I only slept in my...
Hello.
Hey, hello, Catherine. How are you? Oh, I'm saying...
What is this? Where is this?
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How was Freiburg?
It was good. It was about to snow. Let's not lie. It's kind of cool.
Oh, it was about to snow?
Yes. Like the whole sky was full with like white like particles and we were waiting for it to snow. And then when we like got on the train, it started to like drizzle.
Oh.
Which was kind of cool. But well.
Oh, well, that's good.
We had to leave. But yeah, everything worked out great. And now I'm back and I'm ready to couch.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it is. What are you people doing?
Nick is telling me about Burning Man in the summer.
Oh.
When it rained.
Oh, the flood was like washing everything away.
I was just, well, it didn't really wash everything away. It just kind of sunk everything in.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
More than anything else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and made it impossible to...
Leave.
Yes, but why would you want to leave? Like, that's... I was just about to get into that, too. I was telling him that the Playa is kind of like clay. So heavily trafficked spaces that, you know, in the staff areas where people had to walk around and things like that,
right,
were mountainous, just ridiculous, awful places to walk in when it was wet and after it dried. After it dried, it was very hard to smooth out the ground again.
Oh, I bet. It's kind of weird. So, well, in the news, like, but it was all cars like stuck and waiting to leave. It was kind of weird. It looked
but
like
all
they
the cars
were fleeing.
No, they were. People were fleeing.
Yeah.
It was definitely the worst of the human flight response.
Yeah. It looked like it. It didn't look it really, really organized or like thought through. It just looked like, all right, let's go now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, people walking a mile to a highway that maybe in a normal day has 10 cars driving along it. Just getting to a highway to get to a very remote outpost town to maybe get to Reno, and then you just get dropped off there.
Yeah, that's
and that's
weird.
It.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. It looked kind of strange, but well.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you get back to it.
Go to your
Okay.
Couch.
How's your wife?
She's fine.
How's your kid?
Kristen's good. Very much the rambunctious 3-year-old. Very much the...
3 already?
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my god. I did not know he was 3 already. That's crazy.
Should I bring Raven up? I'll bring Raven up real quick, if Florian is okay with that.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, all right.
Did you know she was 3? Yeah.
Okay, look.
What?
Look who it is.
Hello!
Why did you put that camera on?
So they can see you.
Oh.
Can you say hi?
Why did you turn on this?
Huh?
So we can hear you too.
So we can hear you. Can you say hi, Raven?
Hi.
It's Florian and Catherine. Say hi.
Hi.
Can you say that's a good idea? Can you say that's a good idea?
No.
What's your favorite phrase, Raven? Are you getting all shy now?
I understand.
Why are you getting shy? Oh my goodness, he gets shy at the weirdest times. Hey Raven, what color canister does gas come in? What color canister does gas come in?
Red.
What color canister does diesel come in?
Yellow.
Yeah, and what color canister does kerosene come in?
Blue.
Yep, and then what kind of fuel do the big heavy equipment take?
Diesel.
What kind of fuel do they use in the locomotives?
Coal.
Diesel.
Coal.
And then what kind of fuel do we use in our snowblower?
Gas.
Yeah.
Okay, that is pretty funny.
Yeah. Raven, so we alternate between videos like Peppa Pig and Leo the Truck with how does a snowblower work? How does a smoke detector work? What video are you watching right now?
Peppa Pig.
Okay. Can you go back downstairs on your own?
No.
Why not?
Because I want...
He alternates between very technical videos and standard kid videos. Like
that's
the
pretty funny.
What are the parts of a diesel locomotive? And he's looking at it and fascinated by it and paying attention to it.
And how a smoke detector works too.
Yeah, he's fascinated by how the smoke detector works because the videos show what elements are inside the.
That's pretty impressive.
I don't know that.
And we've been to a hotel.
Oh, yeah. He loves hotels.
Oh, I get that.
Why are they not touching their voice?
Oh, because they have headphones on, Raven. They can't hear you. I mean, you can't hear them.
Oh, you cannot hear us.
Oh, that makes
sense. Okay, here, let me put the headphones on you, okay? Or maybe I can switch the... No, you don't? Okay, you want to go back downstairs?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll go. We'll take you back downstairs.
Okay, das ist ein bisschen lustig.
Du kommst nicht mehr zur Feiergang von Christine. Das finde ich nicht cool.
Bye. Oof. So that's Raven.
I can't believe he's three. That's insane.
I know. In a lot of ways, I can't believe it either.
Moves so quickly.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Crazy. All right,
is crazy.
I'm going to the couch.
All right, have fun.
Have fun, you guys.
See ya.
All right. Yeah, we actually got what makes the sofa, the couch so good nowadays is we actually do have a TV now. We don't have TV, but and then we figured out I figured out probably for the second time in my life that a Chromecast and Apple devices don't work together, or it's just no fun. So we have a new Apple TV as well. So we now actually can. We've watched all our series and movies and everything on a iPad for the last years. Mm-hmm. And now we enjoy a big, nice screen. Big, nice screen. And that's where Catherine's going now. And yeah, that's nice. So, but back to Burning Man. Tell me about your best Burning Man experience ever.
So... I really enjoyed driving the bus for Resto. I think that's not one experience. That was the job that I had after Burning Man. The weird thing was I'd always signed up to do resto. Like, I had a resto contract, which basically meant I'd be walking in a line with a bunch of other people picking up trash off the surface of the desert. And sometimes it got very particular. That was the worst part about this year, is that normally where things were just kind of floating around on the surface in a normal year, things were embedded into the playa. And we had to get on our hands and knees with little picks and sticks and actually
pluck it out. Was it dried out by then?
Oh, yeah, it was very dried out. The playa dries very quickly. Even after the second rain event, it dried in a couple of days. And when we were out there, there were sprinkles and things like that, but it would dry, you know, very quickly.
Yeah, okay. Then that sounds pretty awful to have all the trash lying around and embedded in the soil.
Yeah, including cardboard. Cardboard is the worst this year because it got wet, disintegrated, embedded itself into the playa, and pulling it out, it's, you know, you're picking up flake by flake by piece. And it's the same color as the playa, which makes it even worse. And to drive the bus, my plan was I would fly out during the event, go take my test, and then fly back in.
What test?
So you have to take a test to drive a school bus or to drive a passenger bus. And so this was the test to drive the passenger bus. Like, I did the training for it. And the weird part was that the things about the test that really screwed me up were the school bus portions of it. You know, how to load and unload students and how to cross them and the crossing arm and all this, which didn't apply to what I was doing out there. But the only school I could find that would take me at the last minute, all they had was a school bus. And you have to pass the test on the vehicle that you have to do the test for the vehicle that you use during the test. And I'm not going to rent a regular passenger bus because that's ridiculous. So they had the school bus, so I had to take the test on the school bus. And I had to take it twice because I failed it the first time for a weird reason. I didn't know that for the vehicle inspection, you have to finish everything on the inside, then do everything on the outside. And so I forgot the order that they were supposed to do it in, left the vehicle and automatically failed the test.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I did that. Basically, I worked in post, then flew back home, did the test, and then flew back to Reno. And it took me like a week to pass the test because I had to wait between when I could take the test, and the test was on the other side of the state. Which is to say, I'm glad I did that, and I can't wait to drive a bus again if they'll have me drive the bus again. Mm-hmm. Very few people actually have that endorsement. You know, usually the people that have you can drive a 40-passenger vehicle. Basically anything over... And I should know the law about this, but I think it's anything over 9 people in your vehicle, you have to have the passenger endorsement to drive a vehicle that can carry more than 9 or 12 people.
That
I forget
would be
exactly
the case
how much.
In Germany, I'm pretty sure.
Right. And so I enjoyed that a lot, and that was a peak experience as far as a volunteer gig, because you're one of those people that is not a direct supervisor. Like, the only things I can tell people are like, sit down or do this or do whatever. And you know, there was one just not smoking bus at all. And then there was one, cause technically if you get caught on roads where someone's doing an illicit substance, like, it gets bad. But basically what I said to everybody was fun stuff in the back. And I just said fun stuff. I didn't specify beyond that. And as long as I'd have, because I can't keep track of 40 people anyway. But when I say that my peak experience, my best experience at Burning Man was actually the day after the rains. I had my radio on the entire time when I was at Burning Man. Like, I had a radio by virtue of working a lot of ranger shifts last year. And so I was listening to what was going on all the time. And one morning, you know, the supervisor, the shift supervisor of the Rangers says, "Hey, I need two Rangers to go out to the man in the morning before anybody's waking, before people are waking up." And the day before was just a heavy day of all of these different crises and things going on like that. And most of the time dispatch would say, "Hey, there's really nothing we can do about that. You just have to do what you can in place." And so they're saying, "We need two people to go out to the man." And then one Ranger pipes up right away and is like, "I'll do it. I'm going to go out to the man. It's going to be great. Blah, 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 blah." Followed by probably the longest silence on the radio of that day. What happened was is that the next question they asked is, "Well, do you have a partner that's willing to go out there? Is anybody willing to be Bad Asler's partner?" And eventually I queue up and say, "Fine, I'll go." And then I'm, you know, traipsing out there. It's like, I think it's roughly a kilometer walk out there. But think about a kilometer walk where you're walking through ground that does not want to release your foot. And when it does release your foot, you have a lot of material on your foot. You have that whole platform shoe effect that happens out there. But I made it out there. It was fine. The weird thing about the man was that the surface of all the area around it. Now, there's a sort of pavilion and a base, and then the man's on top of the base. That whole pavilion was covered in what they call DG, decomposed granite. It's basically very fine, like sort of coffee ground size rock that they put on there to protect the surface of the playa from getting a burn scar. So, you know, the man burns at an incredibly high temperature for a long time. And to keep there from being a burn scar right there, they put down the stuff called DG. Now, DG you could walk on, even though it was wet. It didn't stick to your shoes. It was beautiful to be walking around on a surface, you know, outdoors and not have to worry about what was going on with your foot. And when we got there, you know, it was caution taped off. It was theoretically closed. But finally, when I'm looking around and surveying the scene, when Bedazzler comes up there, I'm talking to him saying, "There is no way we're going to be able to keep a perimeter around this thing. Just the two of us." The man base was a literal ladder. It was, trying to get the conversion right. Think like 80 centimeter. No, not 80. Not 80. Think like 8 centimeter wide boards, followed by an 8 centimeter gap, followed by an 8 centimeter board, all the way up to the top of the man. Even though they were at like a 30 degree angle, it was incredibly easy to just climb up the entire base all the way up to the man. I mean, there was no skill involved. It was on a ladder. And people, of course, climbed the man. And when they did, I would try to get other people around it. And people started going to the man early in the day. It was a trickle of people and then more people. And then finally, it was a party. And what I told Bedazzler was the best way to protect the man. Because the main reason, the number one thing you're there to do is to keep the man from catching fire. You don't want the man to burn early. Next thing is, you don't want people to climb up the man and get stuck and create a problem. And then after that, and I would tell people, they would climb up the sides of the pavilions and things like that. And I would say, you know, "Hey," even though they weren't supposed to do that, they did. It was incredibly easy. Like, there was no challenge to it. I would tell them it was as easy to climb as regular kids' playground equipment. And I'd say, "Hey, look, if you fall off that, we can't help you," because we couldn't. There was no way that we could get medical to come out here to help you if you fell off that, because there were no resources. And they were like, okay, cool. And I'd say, all right, fine. And sometimes people didn't know. And I would just indicate to them, like, I'd wave and I'd say, please. The last thing I wanted to do was bark at them like a cop or a security guard would bark at somebody. I wanted to try to keep the party vibe going. And it was a party. It was amazing. There was a wedding randomly happened there. A bunch of people schlepped out from their camp and they had a wedding on one of the platforms. There was this crew of Vikings that climbed up all the things and did their Viking thing. There were people that climbed the man, obviously. And when they did, I would basically just gather people that were around and I'd say, hey, would you like to be part of a participatory art project at Burning Man? And of course, they're like, yeah, of course. And I'd say, on three, say, please come down. Ready? One, two, three, please come down. And every time, with maybe one or two exceptions, every time somebody heard, please come down from a crowd of people, they immediately came down. Yeah. They weren't going to say anything if a ranger asked them to do it. You know, if a ranger playing the role of cop did it. I got to talk to people about, a lot of people say, hey, when can we leave? What's going on? Is the man going to burn? Blah, 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 blah. And the one thing I would tell them is, hey, look, right here, right now, you're in a spot with the best energy anywhere in Black Rock City. Take it in. Take a deep breath, breathe it in, feel, load up on all of that good energy. And when you go, spread that good energy throughout a city that really needs it. Because the whole time we were there, we were hearing all of the things happening in the city in our radio. Like, we had to keep track of that. Like, we had to keep track of all of the various different things that were going. Not very careful track, but we were just listening for our name. And while we were listening, all this stuff was happening in the city. Most of which the people there couldn't do anything about. You know, normally things that would be like, we're rolling medical and we're getting a response right away. They would say, hey, yep, we don't have resources. Just like stand by, monitor the situation. That was it. That's all they could do in a lot of those cases because we couldn't move anything. Like there were some vehicles that could move ATVs, but we didn't want to move them because they created such big ruts in the playa that would just make other problems for other people worse. And yeah, it was not great. But that day at the man, just think about it. Like, I was in the middle of an island of happy people doing happy things. And that island is in a sea of just sort of misery and hunkering down. The people that had the best time just basically said, okay, cool, we're in our camp and we're going to hang out in our camp and we're going to eat our food and we're going to do our things and we're going to crap in buckets and we're going to, you know, do whatever, right? We're going to make the best of it. And those people, I think, had an amazing time. The people that wanted to leave and were trying to leave and were getting stuck trying to leave, that's what happened to me the next day. The next day, people were speeding. Basically, they would get some speed going behind them and they would not stop for anything. They would accelerate through all of these patches and it was a nightmare of people trying to get out. And we were trying to put some order behind it, basically try to establish sort of, you know, usually if one person drove through one way and you got kind of a caravan or a rut going, you could get people out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there were random pedestrians, people, you know, there were people who showed up totally by themselves. What'll happen at Burning Man is you'll go out as a group and then you'll start to lose people. As people get into a conversation or they start flirting with someone or they are fascinated by an art piece or their love of performance, and the group will just kind of move on without them. Well, what happened was a lot of people were, you know, having a day or night or an adventure on their own. They go back to their camp. Their camp wasn't there. They left. They left them behind. And so you'd have people that would show up and And that was another weird thing is people would show up not speaking very much English, and there were a bunch of Spanish speakers. And so one of my jobs when I was there was kind of talking to Spanish speakers, being like, hey, if there's anywhere else that you can go just to spend the night, to just not leave tonight, because you don't want to leave at night. And there are a lot of people trying to leave at night. And sometimes you'd be able to get groups of people together, so at least they had each other. Sometimes, you know, I'd send them to Burners Without Borders or wherever, you know. And some other times, like it was weird. There's this one time that this kid turned out to be like 19, but I looked at him and he was like, he didn't look over 16. Just like, and very much like a kid. You know how there's the 16-year-olds that look like, you know, younger adults, and then there's the 16-year-olds who are like, you're a kid. This guy looked like a kid. And this Peruvian girl was basically, you know, putting on the full tears of, oh, I can't, blah, 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 blah. And I knew she was scared, but I said, look, you're going to be fine. And I said, just go back to where your camp was, meet your neighbors, somebody will take you in. And people did. People did help each other as they could. Nobody was truly stranded. It wasn't a bad refugee camp style situation. But this kid, you know, he's a staff member. This kid's rolled up with some of the depot crew to do something, to like move a light tower or do whatever. And he walks over to me and he says, you know, what's going to happen to her? I said, well, you know, her whole camp left. She's going to be fine. It's like, but you got to help her. You got to help her, dude. You got to help her. And the weird thing is, I tried explaining to him rationally, look, we don't have resources. Like, that was the polite way of saying people are kind of on their own. It's not a lot we could do. And he just kind of kept insisting in that way, in that innocent child way, that led me to kind of like flag down a car and be like, hey, do you have room for one person? And the guy was like, do I have to? And I was like, you don't have to, but I strongly recommend that you do. In that mild abuse of apparent authority, there's nothing I could do to stop this guy. This guy could have just gone, there's nothing I could do. And then finally, you know, waved the girl back over, and then, you know, introduced them, and she got in the car, and she left in the car, and the car hopefully got to where it was going. You know, you didn't know after that point. After it leaves the fence, there's nothing we could really do to help them. But usually if you got stuck, you just had to wait 6 hours, and then you get unstuck. And that is what it was. The worst part of it was the next day, I was kind of sent out similar style, like, hey, do we have any volunteers to go to the gate? And I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to go to the gate. And then we met up with basically there was no clear, nobody was really in charge. Like the person in my command chain was kind of sitting back and kind of like waiting. And it was just another disaster. It was a demolition derby in the mud of just like people acting very irrationally on their flight responses. Mm-hmm. And one of the weird things was, is that I know enough about human behavior in these circumstances that if there's a little bit of structure, so when you drive towards a traffic cone, if you can perceive there's enough room between the cones to drive through it, you're just going to drive through it. You're not going to care. Mm-hmm. If you can make the spaces between the cones. Now, if you actually drive over a traffic cone, it does nothing. I mean, it scrapes up the bottom of the car. It does nothing to stop you. Even if you wrap a cone around a wheel, it's not going to stop you. But visually, and so what I did was, and I did this of my own volition. I told, I told some guys who were just kind of being yelled at by their boss from DPW, because one of the DPW like higher ups was there, and they were the one in charge. Even though it wasn't, like, that's the thing, is who's actually in charge? It's inside the fence, so it's not really gate, but DPW doesn't know how to handle gate things, and they were still figuring this out when I just was like, hey, yeah, how about this? And I gathered two other people, like, let's move the cones so that a car can't drive between them, and let's kind of visually signal to the cars instead of, because under normal circumstances, there are lanes, like you come from one side, you come from another side, and the cones are arranged in lanes to point you to a direction. I said, and those cones were just kind of lost causes out in the middle there. I said, how about we just arrange all of these cones so that you can't drive a car between them, and the cones point to an obvious gap, which is where we are trying to send people. We're trying to send people through one gap so that they organize, so that they slow down and organize themselves in one gap. And then through that gap, we could kind of, you know, very slowly. And also, if people are driving towards it, they're driving in a single road on a drier path that they're less likely to get stuck in.
Yeah.
Right. And so I finished doing that. And that worked. Like, as the people were arguing about what was going on, the thing that I was doing ended up working, and they ended up going with that. And then another person who I know pulls up and is like, you know, Brace, what are you doing here? It's like, honestly, dude, I don't even know. He's like, well, come with me. So we go drive out. He was supposed to put down more of those taller traffic cones called delineators. The ones that are like columns are called delineators, into places in the trash fence that people had just busted through. Like people had just driven through, places in the trash fence, which is just a plastic barrier. And what our goal was to try to get people to go to the gap from everywhere. What happened was, is people saw us and they saw gaps in the road, and they're coming around from the 10 o'clock side of the city. They see us, they see the gaps, and they just, in their RVs, gunned it. Like, they literally put pedal to the metal and were moving towards us at 60, 70 kilometers an hour and busting holes through the trash fence. And I'm trying to signal them, no, no, go towards the gap, go towards the, they didn't care. And one of them almost ran me over. Like, I managed to get out of the way just in time. And another one right behind them, just in time. The third one, I was running, I tripped, like, I had, and did a full, like, flying through the air face plant into a puddle, and could feel the spray from the tires of that vehicle spraying my backside. Like, that's how close they were. And granted, in this kind of muddy terrain, one little bump can throw your whole vehicle out. And we saw it happen. And that's when I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, not, this is not my deal. Eventually we got to rearrange the traffic cones in a way that, that made it. So basically all we had to do is get two or three people in a line to start going someplace, and then people would go and follow the line.
Yep.
And all we had to do is try to maintain that line of people. And as long as there was a line, people would follow it. And that was probably the worst experience, because I had never, there were plenty of times where I've done stupid things where I injured myself, but never have I almost been killed by somebody with intent at Burning Man until that moment. Aside from that, it was a pretty cool event.
Did the man burn?
The man did burn. I saw the man burn on a ranger shift. Temple burn was weird. So,
explain what temple burn is.
So they build a temple in the same spot every year, and the design is different every year. And the temple is a quiet space, like any temple of any religion. It has no religion attached to it, but people bring objects of their loved ones there to get burned. And that structure burns. And the weird part about it is that under normal circumstances, you know, the man burn is all the art cars are pumping their music super loud. There's the fire spinners doing their fire spinning art. And it's the peak bacchanal of the whole thing. Temple burn is very quiet. Like, you might hear one or two people yell out the name of their deceased loved one or something. But that's it. It's totally quiet. All the art cars turn all their lights and all their sound off. This year, and usually these burns, both of the burns, the temple and the man burn, are 4 or 5 meters deep with people. At the least, at the lowest point, at the very far side. There were spots where we were where there was nobody. It was one of those things where there's a person sitting right at the line. And we would say, like, hey, can you run perimeter for this? And they'd become a part of the perimeter crew trying to prevent people from rushing into the fire. It was amazing to see no, like, vast swaths of nobody. Now, granted, this was on Tuesday. Technically, the event ended Monday. And most of the people who left, you know, Saturday, Sunday, like, they left early. A lot of people never really even got there. That was the other thing, is when people heard about the rains, a lot of people stayed away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked.
Sounds smart.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked that the city populations got as high as they did. But anyway, it was one of those, it was a weird one, but I enjoyed it. And I liked going back for Resto. And I've been kind of really depressed ever since. I don't know. I don't know what more to talk about other than that.
No, that's fine. I don't think I have more time either. Because Catherine's there and we haven't seen each other in 2 days.
2 days? Oh my goodness.
Just one more thing. Are you going to fix the domain thing?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, it's fixed. It's been fixed for a while now.
But then you need to fix the DNS stuff. I'll send
you. Wait, no, I didn't. Oh, wait, what? Hold on. It was working. It was working when I last checked it.
Okay. You'll fix it. That's fine.
Okay, yeah. No, it's right here. It's just not, it's not a, it's not secure, but.
Oh, so we have to, probably because it was offline so much that I have to renew the certificate. Okay. I can do that. So
that's your end, not my end.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. You heard about my concert next week?
Yep, I did.
You will not be there, unfortunately. But Cheetah is gonna be there. He's gonna take pictures of the band.
Oh, nice.
Yes. That's very nice. And one of these days we're gonna move the website to Cheetah's servers as well. But that's also just
awesome.
My stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to get everything from the American hosting provider that I've used for 10 years to Cheetah, because he does a very good job.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. But it's been great talking to you. It's been
great
seeing you. And yes, we will do this again. And until then, see you.
Have fun.
Say hi to Kristen and Raven.
We'll do. Bye.
Bye.